Hi, my name is Emma.
Hi, my name is Xavier, and we would like to welcome you to Curious Conversations, a podcast for kids by kids.
It's a podcast where we have conversations with adults and kids from all walks of life to learn about their passions and what inspires them, which we know will inspire us and hopefully inspire you too.
Why us, you might ask? Well, we love to ask questions. We are twins and we just turned 11, and we have over a decade of experience being kids and having a point of view on many topics.
We thought a podcast would be a great way to learn something new and explore our interests in a different way, so we thought, why don't we give it a try? On today's episode, we can't wait to talk to Graham Diamond, a certified Lego professional and a master builder.
Emma, it's Lego Day on Curious Conversations. I'm so excited. I can't believe we're actually talking to an actual Lego master builder.
I know. I can't wait to hear about all the things he's built. Xavier, why don't you tell us a bit more about Graham?
Graham Diamond is Canada's original master model builder. He is a Lego certified professional and brick artist. He has been building Lego for as long as he can remember, but he does more than just build. Graham also runs events and is a corporate trainer. He's also a teacher and a certified facilitator of Lego Serious Play. Whether it's a custom model, gigantic display built out of tens of thousands of pieces, or a team building event to inspire, Graham can build what you need big brick by brick. Hi, welcome. We are so excited that you are here. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
We're doing good.
No, this is very cool. I've listened to a few of your episodes. I mean, I know you just got started, but it's very exciting stuff. So I'm happy to be amongst such great company as other people have been on your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, so the first question we have is one that has come up every time we told our family and friends about this interview. So we read about that there are only 40 master builders in the world. So what does it take to be a master builder, and why did you decide to do it?
Oh my gosh. So what does it take? Well, I'll tell you. Master builders come from all different sorts of like walks of life, I guess you could say. So, you know, there's no like one path to get to be a master builder. Think of it like there's it's like a maze with lots of different ways to get to the center where it's like the awesome prize of being the master builder is. So for me, I could tell you a bit about my journey. And what I'll say is that there are about 40 different master builders who work with Lego. And then there's different, like other different fun titles too. So there's people who are master builders. There are master model builders. There are model builders. There are set designers. There are Lego certified professionals. And so we all kind of share different titles. I consider myself a master builder. At one time, I had the title of being a master model builder. I have a different title called a Lego certified professional. And I'll explain sort of what that is. But all these jobs are just different ways of saying that we get to play with Lego bricks for a living. And so we get to build, you know, maybe it's something small, maybe it's something large, maybe we're helping other people build Lego, maybe we're teaching people about Lego, but all the time it's about, you know, having any of these jobs are about having, waking up and, you know, going to your office. You can't see me, but I'm doing like little air quotes here saying office because it's not really an office. It's my workshop where I get to play with Lego, and I'm literally surrounded by millions of Lego pieces in my workshop, and that's what I get to do every day.
Yeah, I like your basketball in your background.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they've got a couple of different Lego creations behind me here. But so how did I get here? Well, at a very young age, there's like photos of me being like a very little toddler and playing with my first Duplo bricks, and then slowly graduating up. I remember my first Lego set that I got. I'm the youngest of three kids, so there was just always Lego around in my house. But I have an older brother and an older sister, and they liked Lego, but they were never like really into it. And so pretty early on, by the time I was like five, I got my first Lego set, and slowly I just started like just moving all the Lego in the house closer to me. And then people didn't really care too much because they had moved past, my brother and sister kind of moved past it. And then I just always, you know, built Lego. I'd still go out and play and had a lot of fun with friends. But I even remember in kindergarten, there was a time where we had to draw a picture of what you wanted to do when you grow up. And, you know, a lot of my friends were drawing pictures of, you know, being a police officer or a librarian, lots of cool things. And but for me, I drew a picture of myself building with Lego. And I'm like, you know, I just want to play with Lego. And my teacher, she was very nice. And so this story, I don't want you to think that this was the person was a bad teacher. But at the time, she was just like, you know, Graham, I don't think that's actually really a job. So maybe, you know, you have to draw a different picture than playing with Lego. And so I did. I'm pretty sure I drew a picture of me being a teacher. And then, but it always kind of stuck with me. It's like, well, why can't that be a job? And I always thought that playing with Lego would be the coolest job in the world. And so I just always stuck with it. I always kept playing with Lego. And this is the key thing, I think, about becoming a master builder is that you find, you know, or if you really want to be a master at anything or a professional, you know, is that you just stick with it and no matter what. So as I got older, you know, other people, they slowly stopped playing with Lego, you know, less and less would I go over to my friends' houses and we'd build Lego together. They do more like want to, you know, we would do other things. And but I would still be like, I want to play Lego. And sometimes my friend would be like, oh, do you want to come over and, you know, play the Mario Brothers or something? Or I'd be like, oh, that does sound fun, but I'm going to stay home and build my Lego castle. And then in high school, it was still the same. And I found ways to bring Lego into all parts of my life. So whether that meant for a project in high school where, you know, I would still, you know, we'd have to do a book report even in high school. And then I'd do like build a model of like a scene from the book out of Lego. And I'd show it and I'd talk about the book and I'd have the little characters and I'd pick them up and I'd be like, oh, here's the knight and here's da-da-da-da, and here's the prince. And, you know, I just would have a lot of fun with Lego all the time. And then in university, I kept with it. Anyway, you get the picture, right? I just never stopped. I love Lego. And that's the key. So I actually went to school to be a teacher because just like I did, ended up drawing in my kindergarten picture. And I love teaching and working with people. And then I was actually working as a teacher for a company. So I was doing what's called corporate training. It's where you're like a teacher and you go to different offices or you're like work for one company. And, you know, I did a lot of stuff on team building, communications, helping people get along, helping people share their ideas at work. And while I was in the middle of that job, there was a competition. And this competition was called Brick Factor. Okay. And this happened, golly, 9 years ago, almost 9 years ago. It'll be 9 years in November. So it was November of 2012. I saw an advertisement in the newspaper and it said, coming to Toronto is Legoland in the city of Toronto. There's a place called Legoland Discovery Center. It's now been open since 2013, but at that time, it was not open yet. And whenever they open a new location, they have a special competition called Brick Factor, which they advertise. And what it is, it's like, it's kind of like, there's a show that's on TV right now. It's called Lego Masters. Are you familiar with this show? Okay,
Yep, we've seen it.
All right. So it's kind of like Lego Masters, but instead of, you know, many weeks and so many hours, they give you like, here's 15 minutes to build animals and go. And then you're like building animals really quickly. It's like, oh, I've only got 15 minutes. And you can see how like frantic it is on that show. And they're all like, we only have 9 hours to build.
We only have 15 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Minutes. What about 15 minutes?
You got it, Xavier. You got it. So, yeah. So that was, you know, I'm looking around. And there was like hundreds, literally about 200 people came out to this competition and they came from all across Canada. People speaking English, French, everybody wanted this to be a part of this competition. Really, though, for me, I went out just because I wanted to have fun and meet other people who like Lego a lot. Most of my friends stopped playing with Lego, but I knew there were other adults out there who must also like Lego. So this was kind of like meeting a whole bunch of other cool Lego fans. And that was just already the most exciting thing for me. But what I discovered was like, you know, I'm looking around and after you build, you have to talk about what you've built and you have to present it to the judges. And it kind of became clear that, you know, it wasn't just about like being a really good builder. It was about being able to talk about it and get people excited and have fun with Lego. And so anyway, that's what ended up, that's how I ended up winning the competition after they kept inviting me back after a round. And I like tell these cool stories about what I built. And then it's like when you watch that show Lego Masters, it's always about like, you know, Lego isn't just about what you build. It's also about that story.
That's really cool.
Everyone I know who's become a Lego master is really into storytelling. They like the storytelling side of things. And that's really what Lego building is for me. It's a way to connect, not just the bricks, but yeah, like connect with people and like build relationships and do cool things like that. So
we have an older brother too, and we have lots of Lego too. If a kid is listening or a kid like me wants to become a Lego master, what would you suggest we do today to get started?
I would say, so if you're a kid right now and you're listening and you want to be a Lego master, the most important thing that I think from the message of my story is just don't give up. You just got to stick with it. And, you know, you never know when your opportunity might come up either. So keep up with it. Do it because you love to do it. Do it because it's what you really want to do. And don't worry about what other people say. And if it's not, you know, you don't have to be like always out there telling everyone, hey, you've got to come play Lego. It's cool. Like, but, you know, just do it because don't do it to try and convince other people either. If it comes, you know, talk about it, share about it with people. But it's about doing it because it's doing it for you. And, you know, after, you know, over time, you'll get better at it and you'll find new creative ways of, you know, letting it out, you know, bringing it into different parts of your life. And I'll say that eventually, you know, it could transform into an opportunity. You know, you build up a portfolio of different things you've created. And so there's my one friend, he just really kept at it, built this portfolio. And then he applied to become a Lego model maker, like a set designer. And that's what he does. Now he lives in Denmark and works there building Lego sets. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So sticking with it, that's the most crucial thing. You know, you can have other hobbies too, but stick with Lego if that's what you want to do, you know, no matter what.
So what do you really love about Lego?
Ooh, what do I really love about Lego is I'd say the biggest thing is that any time that you build with Lego and you're building something from your imagination, there's like so many different combinations that I think that what's so amazing is that anytime you're building something that has likely never been built before and will probably never be built again that exact same way, which I think is just like mind-blowing. That, you know, you think, you look at Lego bricks, you're like, oh, there's only so many possible ways they can go together.
It's not true. You can just like, there's like so many ways. Like I can play in the exact same room near the exact same spot. I left my characters of my Lego characters, and then I come back and I'm like, so I'm gonna have to do it like this way, but I've already done it, and it just keeps happening. It's like crazy. I'm like, wait, I didn't do this last time. Why didn't I think of this? And I'm like, oh, wait, now I thought of that time. I didn't know if I could think of that. There's just like, there's almost infinite ways that you can do it. And like, after you're finally finished with like one thing that you finished, like if I have this like one brick, I can do so many things with it. And then I'm finally done and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of ways. But then you just grab another one and another one.
You got it. 100%. That's exactly it. And like, do you ever find that you think you're done and then you start and then you're like, then maybe you go to sleep and you look at it the next day, you're like, and you find another piece and you're like, hey, maybe I could change that like spaceship that I built yesterday and like add on to it with this new piece that I just found. Do you ever get that way?
Yep. That's what I do with all my Lego characters. I have a little bit upstairs. I always go in my basement where there well all of our Lego sets. And I look through all of our Lego and I'm like, wait, oh, I can use this cool like sword into this little scenario. Oh, and then I can use this little like piece of like pants, and I can make them like a suit of armor or something.
Have you ever used like pants, like, you know, like the Lego legs in a build, and like actually used it for something other than legs before?
Actually, no, I haven't.
You know what? That's part of what I love about Lego too, is, you know, talking about there's all these different sorts of ways to build.
I don't know how you could use the pants, because there's not really another way that you can attach the pants. Could you show me?
Oh, yeah, I can show you. It's going to be tricky because we're on a podcast, but I have, let me see. Okay, I'm just going to walk away from my computer, but I still got my headset on so you can hear me. So with the Lego pants, what you can do is you can take them, and one of the things I love about them is that they're kind of like bendy, right? And so they're really good at getting like different angles. And so what I do is I can take a brick. Okay, so a brick is like your basic piece of Lego, right? When you think of a piece of Lego.
Yes.
And then the little bumps on top, we call those studs. All right, this is like the Lego language that studs. We're learning.
So yes, yes, I know what those are.
Okay, all right. So then what you can do with special, like a 1x2 brick, so that a 1x2 brick means that it's got just like two studs on top, and you can put it on top of the legs. Whoa. And what this is going to let you to do is that you can build, now I can build, I could put like the legs onto a one brick. I can have the studs of the 1x2 brick like going off at a funky angle, and then the other leg I can build off that too. So now it's almost like I can be using these pair of Lego legs, and now I'm building in three different directions at the same time, which is kind of funky, and it's a little bit different than you might think of how to build with Lego. But it really lets you open up a whole bunch of different possibilities of how you can build in different directions with Lego. And that's what I think is so cool, is that there's always something new, and there's this whole community of people, and they're finding new ways to use pieces. And there's when you find a new way to use a piece in a clever way, like you take something like legs, and then you can use it to build in different directions. And then we call that nice piece usage or nice part usage. That's NPU. That's what we say in Lego talk.
That's crazy. I never knew you could do that with one single pants. So it's just crazy. So
now you're probably going to be like, what can I build with pants later?
Yes, I am actually trying to think of that right now.
Okay, so we read that you love building castles, and your favorite Lego set is the Deep Freeze Defender. So we looked it up, and it looks like a spaceship. We showed it to our dad, and he recognized the photo, and he thought his brother might have the set. So why is it your favorite set, and was it your first set? If not, what was your favorite Lego set? I mean, your first Lego set.
Okay. So my first Lego set that I remember getting when I was 5, that wasn't like my brother or my sister's Lego, was it was a pirate set.
Oh.
And the Forbidden Island. That's what it was called. Lego Pirate. The Pirate Forbidden Island set. That's set 6270 for those of you keeping track at home. And it was really cool because it had like this, like, it came with a bunch of different pirates, and it came with, like, a little Lego monkey. I thought the Lego monkey was really cool.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so that was, like, my first one that I remember. I got it, and I built it all by myself, too, because it was, like, my Lego set. All the Lego we had at home, it didn't have instructions anymore because they were, like, my big brother and big sister's Lego. So this was, like, the first fresh Lego we got in years. And I was like, yes, this is so amazing. And so I have vivid memories of sitting in my childhood living room building that. But the coolest set is definitely, in my mind, the Deep Freeze Defender. And why is it so cool? Okay, so if you look at the picture of the Deep Freeze Defender set, so at the front of it, it's got like these two little like cockpits at the front, but it's set 6973. But the cool thing is they can detach. And they come off the front, and they become like their own little ships that can fly out.
That's awesome.
And then, and then there's like a middle section, and it detaches from the back, and it has its own like little secret. It's kind of like a little cargo pit, but it kind of transforms into like another little cockpit. So it becomes like even another ship. And the back.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the back section has this like cool, kind of like a garage door that like opens and closes.
Oh,
this was like, And you know what's like funny is that like by modern Lego sets like standards, it would probably be like pretty like a small like a medium size Lego set, because now like Lego sets, they make them so much, like I find there's like so many bigger Lego sets than there used to be. But this one, this was like the one that like I could just play with forever, and it was like taking, you could like take it apart in so many different ways. Oh, so fun.
On that note, so there's like all these different like kind of genres of Lego. What's your favorite genre of Lego?
So I've mentioned pirate, and we talked about the space ones. But yeah, my favorite is, and always has been, castle. And we haven't had any really good castle sets in a long time, but castle has always been my favorite. I've always been a big fan of like knights and armor and like sneaky, like wizards and skeletons and ghosts and all those types of and dragons. All these sorts of types of things were all part of the Lego castle line over the years. And there's they're pretty cool, the Harry Potter Lego sets. They're kind of like
castle awesome.
Sets too. Yeah, so I love
the Harry Potter sets. I got the Night Bus a couple years ago.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and then I also got the train set. It was
the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, it was the third year, so it had all the Dementors on it. I love. I'm a big fan of the series, and it was probably I think it was a couple years ago, and I was like in grade 2 or 3, so it was like the biggest set I built because the train was so big and it could move and had all like the extra people on it. And it had like the station. It was so cool. I have it upstairs in my room.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love Harry Potter. I must have like...
Yeah, it's the best.
There's not many book series that I've read like multiple times, but I've probably read through the Harry Potter books like 4 or 5 times myself. Just like...
You're so good.
I love them. I love it so much. And so the Lego sets are so fun because you get to... Like you get to play Harry Potter, like, and you get to build your own wizarding world as well, which is so fun.
I've been trying, so I have the shelf that has like 7 or 8 like shelves. So I'm trying to get 1 or 2 from every movie. Mm. So my advent calendar, I think it was a couple years ago. It's like a full first year scene. There's like wizard chests and everything. And then I don't have anything for the second year yet, and I told you the third year. And then recently I got the dragons from the fourth task. Oh. The first task in the fourth movie.
Is it the Hungarian Horntail? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at Indigo a couple of days ago, and there was a full like life-size version in the first movie of the wizard chest from the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
I almost got it. And then there was the burrow. The burrow's
got to be one of the coolest Lego sets they've made in a long time, the way they've done it. Like, awesome. It's got so many cool features. What I really love about Lego, too, is that they really pack in a lot of little features into these Lego sets. And the people who like, design them and research them, they put a lot of work into it, too. Even, like, I'm a bit older. I grew up watching a show called Seinfeld, and now they're just releasing this like the set of the show Seinfeld. And there's like all these little stickers and details. They do it with like everything, or like the newest Ninjago. What was it? The Ninjago City Garden set, and it's got like all these cool stickers and features in there too. Like these set designers spend so much time researching. I don't know if you know this, but like when they design the Lego set, it takes them like. It could take them up to 2 years from like the first time they draw it. And and then they build it. They have to, then they'll do a lot of research to get all those details packed in. They think, okay, how can I make this more awesome? Kind of like what we're talking about with like, you know, when you go to sleep and you wake up the next day and it's like, oh, and you find that piece and it could make your creation so much cooler. That's how they design the Lego sets too. It's the same way. It's like, but they just take a lot of time.
Because like they have to figure out where the bricks go, how it moves, and all those cool features you have. It doesn't start off with instructions.
No, that's right. It's up to people. Like it's up to people. Just like when you're building your own creations at home, there's all these different rules about when they're designing a Lego set about ways that pieces like are supposed to fit together, or you know ways that they're allowed to fit together. Things like that. They have lots of complicated rules, and then they have to make sure that it's, you know, simple enough that, you know, like a littler kid could build it, or is it complicated enough to be challenging enough for an older kid? Lots of like revision that goes into it. So try again.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite genres of Lego sets are the Star Wars Lego sets. The latest one I actually created was the Razor's Crest from The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
The coolest part is that it came with the little Baby Yoda's like little hammock or like little bed.
Yeah.
You can't really make a hammock really with Lego in the because it's actually a very small thing. But so it's this like really tiny like little type of bed, and then I put a Baby Yoda. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that this was here. It's like super cool, and everything drops. Like I spent so much time on the walls, and then at the end I just see, wait, it just like drops all everything. Like you can see the entire inside. And the coolest part is that you can actually see there's stickers. You are right, but the stickers are like carbonite. They have like three people in the carbonite, and like the first episode, remember, he has.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt right now.
So am I.
Oh my gosh.
So am I. My brother actually built the Death Star, which I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And my dad actually built a pretty big R2-D2, which had all these like really cool gears.
He also built the typewriter, the new typewriter that just came out.
Oh really? The new typewriter. Wow. I was gonna say there was a time one of the first things. Okay, so. When I used to work at Legoland, and after I won my job working at Legoland, what happened was I worked there for like 2 years, and then I kept getting people asking me to, you know, can I build, you know, it would be a car company. And they'd say, you know, we've seen you on TV and we've heard you talking about Legoland and we've seen the things you've built. Do you think you could build our car out of Lego?
You don't have any instructions when you do that. You just do it with your own imagination. So what's the process of that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So the process is basically, it could be a couple of different things. So usually it involves looking at a lot of pictures, doing a lot of math and figuring out, okay, well, if it's like this tall, if it, like, in, you know, in my picture and I want it to be, you know, to be this like a certain size when I build it, the hood of the car can only be this many studs long because it has to be the same as like, the ratios, but sometimes with Lego, you've got to mix it. You've got to cheat a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be the exact same because you want it to still look and feel like Lego as well. Part of the fun of building with Lego is to get that bit of that feel where you can see some of the little studs and bumps. But yeah, so it can be, you know, starting with that, and then I'll build lots of prototypes. Sometimes I'll build a prototype digitally, or I'll build it in real life if I have the right pieces, or if it's not too big and things, I can build a test version in real life. What ended up happening was when I was working at Legoland, I ended up getting like so many people asking me to build stuff that I decided that, you know, it was fun to be at Legoland all the time, but it was kind of cool to go out and meet more people everywhere and build new things and new places. And so I ended up, that's when I left Legoland. It became on my journey to become what I am now is a Lego certified professional. So it's a different kind of master builder where now I work with company, not just at Legoland, but I work with companies all over the place to build things. So, and then I get to go on this cool journey where I'm revising my builds.
What is your dream Lego build? If you could build anything, what would it be?
That wasn't on your list of pre-questions, just to let you sneaky kids. All right, what would my dream build be if I could build anything I want? So I would love to build like a huge like medieval city, but not just anything. I don't know if you've read The Lord of the Rings or seen the movies or anything like that. In the third book or the third movie, there's this one city, it's called like Minas Tirith. And it's like this huge like city that kind of has like these different, it's like this medieval castle, but it's all these different like levels that are tiered higher and higher and higher, kind of like, it's almost like a wedding cake in a way with like these different levels that get like slightly narrower.
That's
and
cool.
I would love to build like a really giant version of that. Yeah, that would be just like the coolest thing for me.
Yeah.
It would be like this giant epic castle with like, and it's got all these, like it would have all these cool like little forts in it and like archers and knights and then like all the goblins and orcs and trolls attacking and anyway, that would be really fun for me. That would be a dream build for me.
Wow, that was a great interview, but wait, there's more.
We talked for over an hour, so we are going to split this into two, part one and part two, because we couldn't fit it into such a teeny weeny little episode.
So stay tuned for the second episode, because I promise you it's going to be just as interesting as this one.
Thank you for listening. I know all the shows you probably listen to say this, but please rate the podcast and download the episode. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That'll be in the show notes. And if you want to, just say hi to us in the comments. We'll be sure to read them.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Curious Conversations.
Bye!